This is Dr. J. Davidson from drjdavidson.com. Thank you for joining me on the Viral and Retroviral Summit. My guest today is Jane Barlow, and we're going to be exploring her favorite antiviral herbs. But before we do, a little bit about Jane. Jane Barlow is an herbalist who owns and runs Barlow Herbal Specialties. She lives in Salt Lake City, where she enjoys hiking all over the mountains of Utah and teaching fitness classes. Jane loves everything natural, holistic, wellness, fitness, and nutrition oriented, and believes in our right as humans to be vibrantly healthy, and that is given, if given the right tools, our body knows how to heal, which I absolutely love that. She believes that each of us are responsible for ourselves and the love, joy, spiritual, and physical health that we experience. She is the second oldest of 14 kids, so big family comes from, and grew up in rural Idaho. Jane has two grown sons and two grandchildren. Jane, welcome to the Viral Retroviral Summit.
Thank you, Dr. Davidson. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited because you come from a background of, I don't even know if the right word is herbalist, but definitely in the herbal category. So can you talk to us about your dad and his background and what it was like growing up in that environment?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and my dad, his PhD was medicinal botany. So his love was everything plants, everything, you know, herbal medicine. You know, we grew up in rural Idaho on a big plot of land kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and we had great big gardens, and we were always out, you know, looking at herbs and picking plants. In fact, we would be driving to church and my dad would see something on the side of the road that he would want to identify and teach us about, so we'd all get out and we'd all, and all these little kids would be out there like chewing on the leaves from this part of the plant that was edible. And it was just kind of a typical growing up for me. But even though I grew up that way and I lived in a rural area, most of my friends were eating Wonder Bread and going to McDonald's, and I felt super deprived, to be honest with you. I'm just like, you know, why do we have to take this crappy whole wheat bread sandwiches and a homemade lunch and a bag of carrots? Like, that's really embarrassing. So, you know, it was a gift, but most of us didn't realize it till we got older. And it was just one of those things that we all fell away from as adults in our 20s, when we're like, oh, we can do anything we want, nobody's trying to feed us holistic food and treat us with herbs, and a lot of us fell into some bad eating habits and some health, and we've kind of recovered from that. But it was, you know, it was interesting and fun, and there were always chiropractors and iridologists and reflexologists were always at our house, and there was always little healing sessions going on, and it was pretty amazing looking back at as an adult, for sure.
It is funny how you always want what you don't have. As soon as you said that about, you know, the processed food, I was thinking, because I grew up on processed food, but my cousin or my aunt worked at a grocery store, so she got all the newest of the new super processed food, and I was always jealous about all that, you know, crazy colored gushers and things like that. So it's funny. So being a parent and also now a grandma, and then growing up in a household where like all this natural stuff existed, and then kind of going from one spectrum to the other spectrum, I feel like now maybe you're back in that spectrum. I mean, as a parent, what can we do to kind of facilitate, not to maybe corral them too much into the natural world, but also facilitate where they're going to want that moving forward too?
You know, I've really discovered the best thing that especially that I can do, or anybody that's into natural healing, or maybe you've discovered it because your health was suffering and you've exhausted all of your everything medical, they say we can't do anything else for you, or maybe you're just tired of doing that, and you've kind of switched over to the natural healing, the good food, all of the holistic things, but your family doesn't come along with you or support you or agree with you. Or, you know, I used to be really kind of a vigilante about it. You know, it was very difficult if my husband was eating bad food, and, you know, my grown kids were not, you know, I was saying, don't eat that, and come on, don't eat this. And I would just provide all this really healthy food. But what I decided is that nobody wants to hear it until they're ready. And the best thing I could do was set an example. And what I have found is the older that I get, even now, most of my siblings, because I'm second oldest of this big group of siblings, and who've over the years have suffered with health problems. And the older I get, you know, I'm not on any drugs. I'm a couple of months away from 58. So it's like, it's just an example. Like, that's the best thing that you can do is just, I take my supplements, I drink my tea, I do my juicing, I sit in my infrared sauna. Like, I do all of these things and I don't preach to anybody. So the thing is don't preach, just show an example. When someone is ready, they'll come to you or they'll start following their own path to health. So that's been my best, biggest epiphany.
Awesome advice. So lead by example. Yeah. I think that's great too for those that are struggling with health and then, you know, kind of battling like, well, why doesn't my spouse get on board? It's like, no. Get yourself well, lead by example, and then they'll come along. It's so much easier in that. Love that. What have you, I mean, with all the years, just being in more of the natural world, kind of growing up, what were some big takeaway lessons that you took kind of from your lifestyle? And you look amazing. I had no idea that you were that age. So props to that. Props
Thank
to you too.
Thank you. That's very sweet. Well, you know, one of the really impactful stories that happened to me when I was 14 is in Idaho, when you're 14, you can get your daytime driver's license. So my dad took me out to drive, and it's, you know, cowboy country, there's no traffic. So I was out on a rural road learning how to drive, and we pulled in to get gas. And this was before you could just pay with your credit card. So we went in to pay. And right as we stepped up to pay, there was a couple ahead of us, an older couple, and the man like literally did the classic, clutched his heart and fell to the ground. And my dad, being my dad, carried a wad of cash in this pocket and a tincture of cayenne pepper in his right pants pocket. That was my dad. If he had his cash and his tincture of cayenne, it was like put on a watch. Those were the things that partly what, you know, got him going. So immediately my dad had two squirtfuls of cayenne pepper tincture down this man's throat. Now, if you know anything about cayenne pepper, besides the fact that it's spicy and it tastes good, it makes your food taste good, it's a vasodilator. And literally within 30 seconds, this man was sitting up. I mean, this ambulance still came, and the woman later told my dad that, you know, this was, thank you for saving his life. And, you know, so I literally watched what I believe was a heart attack stop within seconds. And as a 14-year-old, that was super impactful. So there were a lot of other things, but to me, that's something that shows the healing power of something simple like cayenne pepper. So that's, you know, there were all kinds of things that happened as a kid and as a teenager that I got to witness that seemed like every day to me, but they were miraculous healing is what happened. So yeah, who gets that, right?
That's insane. Yeah, so my question is, do you guys sell a cayenne pepper tincture to have on for everybody to have as a first aid kit?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I was going to say, if you don't, like, what do you mix up? Is there a certain amount for it? So
cayenne's good for digestion and metabolism. And believe it or not, cayenne is very healing for the inside of your stomach. So cayenne is something that is good for heart health, like just for prevention. So it's something that you should take besides in the case of an emergency.
Okay. And then if you have your first aid kit on your belt buckle and somebody falls over from a heart attack.
Yeah, it might be a little trickier these days to do that. You know, just start putting cayenne pepper down a person's throat you don't know. So I would use caution. If it's someone you know, maybe.
Yes. Agreed. Well, now that you've kind of brought into the herbal tincture or supplement world, I'd love to hear some of your favorite herbs and why. I'm sure there's things that I've never heard of, or even the listeners never heard of, just with your past and what you got to grow up with.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I love a lot of herbs and I have access to a lot of herbs. And what I do basically, my dad passed away 21 years ago, so I carry on his core group of herbals. And there's a learning curve. There's a little bit of education. And with that, you know, we've mostly sold those to practitioners, because it's not like this is something you're going to find on a health food store shelf. And I mean, cayenne pepper is something you could pick up, or you could even make yourself. You know, that's easy to make a tincture. But as far as, like, I know this is a viral summit. I have a lot of herbs that I love that are antiviral. So things like elderberry and garlic and tea tree oil and oregano. And I mean, there's things that, you know, provide your body a strong immune system, anti-inflammatory, and then literally will go after a viral load to help your body do what it's supposed to do. Because we're supposed to recognize when there's something unnatural, and our body's supposed to protect us. And because of other factors and other toxins and things we're exposed to, our bodies aren't prepared sometimes to handle some of these viral loads. So my very favorite plant, and this is one my dad studied for 30 years, is called lomatium. And I think you might be familiar with this because I know it's in our vermicide tincture, which is a Giardia, anti-Giardia. It's got anti-parasite properties. But lomatium is a Native American plant that is a broad spectrum antimicrobial. So it doesn't just go after viral loads, it goes after fungus and candida and even a lot of hardcore bacterial loads that are really, this is a game changer. In fact, if I could only pick one herb to take me through life as a mother, a grandmother, a human, it would be lomatium. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to pick, but if I could only pick one herb, and that says a lot, because to me, we could die from a bacteria or from a viral, some virus or whatever. So to me, there's a lot of power in that.
Is another name for lomatium Leptotania or Leptotania?
Leptotania, yes. And that was actually an old name before. There was I want to say Constance, and there's a big reference botanical book that was, so it was renamed. I think it was like in the 1940s. So okay. Leptotania was renamed to lomatium dissectum. And then the variation is multifida, the one that has the main properties that are antimicrobial. There's also a lomatium dissectum variation dissectum. So there's a couple of different species of lomatium. You have to know what you're looking for. In fact, I went out with my dad the first time when I was about 15, and he taught us all how to wildcraft it. So we still go out every fall and we wildcraft this as a family. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember reading things about the Spanish flu back in 1918, and everybody was dying, and there was this area somewhere in the West, I think it was like a Native American tribe that used lomatium, and they basically virtually had no deaths. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely correct. So during the very famous flu epidemic of 1917, 1918, Spanish flu, what the United States government did is they assigned a contract physician to every group around the United States. And there's a Dr. E.T. Krebs Sr. who was assigned a group. He was in San Francisco, and he was assigned a big group that included two tribes of Washoe Indians that lived near Carson City, Nevada. So he would go check on all these groups that were in his area just to give numbers of death and numbers of infection. I mean, this was a lot of how they kept track of what was happening with this horrible epidemic that was sweeping around the world. And what he discovered is that these two tribes of Indians were using this plant, lomatium dissectum, and the variation was multifida, and not one person from either one of those tribes died, even though there was some infection from the Spanish flu. But not one person. So what he did is he took this plant back to his practice in San Francisco, and he started using it on his own patients. And then he proceeded to study it for his entire life and passed the study on down to his son, E.T. Krebs Jr., which is the one my dad hooked up with. And I actually got to meet him when I was 16. We used to take turns taking trips with my dad, and I didn't think it was a big deal then. You know, it was like, okay, here's this old guy, and you guys are talking about plants. And I look back now, and it's like, okay, this was like a really an influential herbal pioneer that worked with my dad and studied, you know, there's some really cool studies about with this plant and what's been done with it over the years. And it's kind of like when, you know, these modern antibiotics were introduced and discovered, nobody wanted to use an old Indian remedy anymore. You know, people wanted the new modern drugs, and let's go after these bugs and let's kill them. And now that we know that antibiotics don't work on viruses, there's a swing back to what's going to heal us naturally. So yeah, you're correct. There was a big deal about the Spanish flu.
What a small world. I had no idea that your family history went back to that too. So
yeah.
That's so cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the history with the whole Rockefeller, and I forget the other one that kind of took over the medical school, but like back in the 1900s, there was more homeopathic doctors than quote unquote medical doctors. And then when they pretty much, ran through the school system and here's what we're going to be taught, then things started changing and homeopathy just started disappearing. And I feel like that was just the beginning of kind of wiping out more natural things. And just looking more to synthetic and pharmaceutical. So I just love the herbal side. Have you seen that lamatium also affects the retroviruses as well as just viruses?
Yeah, in fact, what I did is I pulled this, there's a study, and I want to read one little thing to you. It talks about, like, so this is a really, this is kind of a thick paper, because I've gathered everything I can over the years, especially since my dad passed away. I've gathered everything lamatium because it fascinates me, and I spend a good amount of my time educating practitioners about all the medicinal benefits and all the things that lamatium does. So what I there's a study that was done in 1995, and I'll just read just a tiny bit of it. Lamatium dissectum variation multifida completely inhibited the psychopathic effects of bovine retrovirus in vitro, and then on MA-104, which was an African green monkey kidney cells. So this was a rotavirus, and it completely inhibited it. So, and this is, there's so much in this. Like, I could send you some stuff that you would probably love.
Well, I know, I mean, just clinically, lamatium seems to test really well for not only viruses, but retroviruses, but then does seem to have a good, like, antibacterial and, like you said, yeah, even fungal. So that seems to be almost as broad spectrum as you can get for the chronic infection side.
I agree. In fact, I've never, in all my studies, run across a plant that has such a broad spectrum scope of bacteria, virus, candida, fungus, yeast, all this. There is one plant that grows, though, that is very similar, and it grows on the other side of the world in Ghana, and it's called Cryptolepis. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Cryptolepis?
Cryptolepis.
Okay.
And I actually got some, and I have some. I make these little concoctions. You should see my own little personal apothecary. I have all these herbs and roots and stuff all curing that I use for my own family. And I've got some Cryptolepis that is, it's this bright, bright, almost a neon yellow, but it has a lot of similar properties to lamatium. So I think what happens is you have these, you know, God put plants on this earth to help humans be well. And most people still on the planet use and turn to herbal medicine first before they turn to traditional. I mean, we're so backward in the United States. We are really, with our modern medicine, we're backwards. So
I completely agree. So does this plant on the other side of the planet have similar actions as lamatium, or?
It does.
Okay.
It does. Yeah. And like I said, it's called Cryptolepis with a C. Crypto with a C.
So the lamatium I've seen clinically, gets termed like lamatium rash. And I love your take on it, because what it seems to me is that if the liver bile drainage is not moving well, lamatium rash is more likely to flare up, or more specifically, right, like phase 3 detox of the liver, you know, dumping things into the bile. If that's not moving, I feel like lamatium rashes show up. Can you talk to us about like what a rash is and what you've seen clinically from that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's actually a big piece of the learning curve with lamatium. And I have found, you know, I've been using it and watched my dad use it for a couple of decades before he passed. And now I've been going for almost 2 decades by myself. And I've seen the incidence of lamatium rash increase, because I think we're such a toxic society. We don't take care of our organs, and we don't specifically take care of this hardworking filter that is our liver. Like, we don't realize how everything filters through it, like literally everything, vitamins, good food, bad food, everything. And when you have a compromised liver, so this is what I've really come to believe, because I've talked to thousands of people with this lamatium rash. So what I find is that if you've never used lamatium before, you do need to be aware of the potential for a one-time full body detox rash. And I have a file on my computer with thousands of pictures of people in the midst of their rash. And basically, say someone has Hashimoto's, where they've got maybe an underlying Epstein-Barr that's in their thyroid. Well, what will happen is if they take Lomatium, their liver is not strong and healthy and can handle how fast the body is able to start eradicating the viral load, that the rash will start right here. The rash will start here and then it will move. Say someone has chronic UTIs, the rash will start back here where their kidneys are and then it will move and spread everywhere. So it really is it's a smart thing. It's a healing crisis. It's uncomfortable and scary and itchy and swelling and fever. And it can be, you know, some people aren't prepared. We're not used to the way our body heals on this level. So we do everything we can to front load every person who finds us with as much information as we can so that they can first get their liver healthy. We find there's ways to start really slow with Lomatium. You can, especially if it's in tincture form, you can literally do one or two drops and just acclimate your body super slow. And it's also a good opportunity to say, you know what, how am I living? How am I treating my body? What do I need to clean up? So that if I want to eradicate this problem, I can prevent the rash, but I can also start taking better care of myself. So I believe it's a liver that's not healthy. And the rash is a good thing in the end of it all, because it's the body's way of saying, okay, the liver can't handle it. Your skin is your largest organ, just goes, boom, I'm going to handle it.
Yeah. So it's almost like giving you clues about what's going on, not necessarily bad, kind of like back in the day when they used to do the niacin flush for cardiovascular health. And, right. You know, So if somebody has a niacin, or sorry, back on the niacin, if somebody has a Lomatium rash, is the best thing to like completely stop the Lomatium just for the time being, support like the liver more, or do you dose less with it typically and then, you know, start ramping it up again?
It's a really good question. It's one we get all the time. So there's what I found is that you can stop taking it. It doesn't make the rash go away quicker, because once the process has started, once your body finally has the ability to eradicate and start removing some of this load, it just goes. And so I've had people do all three, stop completely. Sometimes it's psychologically easier for them because it to stop doing the thing that caused this rash. And the rash, I've had people tell me, yeah, I'm prepared and I might not get it, and I'm prepared if I do. And then they get it and they're like, this is so much worse than I thought, you know. So you can stop, or you can lower the dose and keep going, or you can stay at the dose you were doing and keep going. It really is just individual, what makes you feel the best. And what I would personally recommend, if it were someone in my family or someone I was putting through it for the first time, I would say just lower the dose and keep going. You know, let your body keep doing its thing. It's being so smart. So that's actually a really good question.
Well, now, yeah, what triggered in my brain is, oh, you can just push right through it because it doesn't matter. So might as well.
Exactly. And that's what I would say. Just push through it. And we find these amazing things happen when people, even if you don't get the rash, like I've had people be disappointed that they don't get the detox rash, because it's like, you know, they've been suffering for so long and they're just ready to feel better and start healing. And then they find out about this plant and they're like, oh my gosh, I can finally, and then they're disappointed that they don't get the rash. I'm like, no. That means your liver's good and your body's functioning and it still works even if you don't get the rash.
So is it, I mean, besides the liver and more of that drainage pathway and clearing things out, is it also dictated based on the amount of chronic infection you have? Because if this Lomatium goes after viruses, retroviruses, bacteria, fungus, I mean, if you have that more prevalent, that, I mean, in my head makes it seem like it would be more likely to get a rash too.
Yeah, no, I find that people who not only have been suffering for a long time with really chronic systemic issues, but that have multiple issues. Because if you think about, you know, you have a compromised immune system, it's a perfect place for parasites to thrive and candida to thrive and viruses to come at you. And so you're just kind of providing the perfect environment for your body to have multiple issues. So yeah, I do find that there is one thing that I found very interesting. When I first restarted the company after my dad passed away, I had a practitioner in Oregon who was treating a lot of like ex-drug addicts, and he was also helping people detox from drugs, and he had an amazing, he still has amazing practice, but every single one of the people that he would use Lomatium on would get a horrific, like an absolutely horrific rash. And what we kind of discovered together is that, and that there's been a couple of really uncomfortable situations that I've handled on my own since then, is if someone has a drug addiction or they're on meth or they're, you know, there was a gentleman who had been using Lomation for 10 years and his son in his mid-20s was really sick with a bad flu cold. And so his dad gave him the Lomation. The rash shows up usually between days 5 and 7. So the rash doesn't usually show up on the first couple of days or even the first day. It shows up at about a week. So at about a week, the son got a rash and actually ended up in hospital because his kidney started to shut down. And the dad found out later and told me later that his son fessed up that he was on meth. So what I would say is that talk about a compromised liver. Your liver is probably barely hanging on if you're doing hardcore things like that, or even a lot of prescription drugs, because your liver filters all of those too. So I would just say, you know, if you're on drugs, do not try Lomation. I mean, that sounds like, okay, most people that are probably listening to this are not on drugs, but I'm talking about like recreational drugs.
Okay. That's really good to know. I mean, the liver, the good thing though, is the liver is that one organ that can regenerate. I mean, they can take a chunk of an adult liver, transplant in a kid where maybe the liver's non-functioning, and within 6 months that liver can be like fully grown again. I mean, the liver is, I really believe it's such an amazing organ.
It is. I agree with you completely. I think you're absolutely right on. So if you give your liver a little bit of attention and love and support, your liver can pretty much handle what you throw at it.
Well, another question I'm thinking of for the Lomation, and I just love picking your brain with your expertise in this, is there an amount of time that you want to limit for Lomation? So is it like 2 weeks and then take a little break, or 90 days and take a break?
That is a great question too, because these are questions we get all the time. So if you look at a bunch of different plants and the way your body will either build an immunity to them or not, my best example is something like echinacea. You know, your body will build an immunity to echinacea. So if you love using echinacea, you should go like 2 months, and then you should take a month break or a couple months break, and you should rotate it with other herbs like golden seal or something. And a lot of herbs are like that. Your body will build an immunity and you do need to take breaks from them. But what I have come to believe just from, and there's no clinical studies or clinical trials about this, but I've come to believe that your body does not build an immunity to Lomation, because I've seen people work on eradicating some of these really long-standing systemic viral loads, and they take Lomation every day for a couple of years. Some people, you know, my husband eradicated a herpes virus he'd had for 20 years, and he tests negative now.
That's so
using
awesome.
Lomation. So, and not everyone might, you know, will get those results, but he was on it every day for 18 months.
Wow. That's so great to hear. Well, as we wrap the interview up, Jane, is there any final thoughts or topics quick that you want to cover for the listener?
You know, Mother Nature is pretty perfect. And one of the things that I find is when people are first starting to use herbs and natural healing, there's a little bit of a trust. It's like, how do I trust this? What if it doesn't work? And especially when it comes to dealing with your kids, you know, when you're giving your kids something, if they're sick and they have an infection, I would just say, keep at it, keep learning, keep studying, because the more you learn, the more you study, the more confidence that you can gain. Because that's the biggest thing I see with people, is they're like, oh, my kid has an ear infection and you say this is going to work. And what if it doesn't? They might lose hearing or whatever. So I think learn to have confidence in natural healing, because herbs are power. They are so powerful and they give us all the tools we need to stay well. So.
I love that. It makes me think of, you know, so many people in the natural health world, you know, if you think, and knock on wood, you know, worst case scenario, oh, I get diagnosed with cancer. Like, of course, I'm not going to do chemo and radiation. But if you're not well versed in the other tools in the natural realm, it's almost like you just get sucked into that system based on, like you said, almost just not enough trust in that there's things out there. So
yeah.
Makes you motivated to learn that stuff now. So if something does occur that you're ready to walk more of a natural path. I just really appreciate you taking time out of your day. Just, you can feel the bigness of your heart coming through. Just such a wonderful person you are and sharing your knowledge on herbs. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. To me, this is the funnest thing when I can like empower someone to start even searching for this way. It's the funnest thing I do. So I'm really grateful that you had me on. So thank you.
Well, and I got a bunch of questions answered. I feel like maybe saved your customer service team some work too, but
You're right.
So thank you so much for joining us on this Viral and Retroviral Summit. Make sure to share this with your friends and loved ones as they're depending on you. Because if they're not tuning in the summit, the only way they're going to hear about it is passing it on. So make sure to pass it on. And don't forget to visit Jane Barlow at barlowherbal.com. Barlow is spelled B-A-R-L-O-W. So barlowherbal.com. You can also check out her YouTube channel, Barlow Herbal. Maximum blessings. This is Dr. Jay Davidson.